Look with me in Mark chapter 3 and verse 20. When God's Son contends with God's adversary. It says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand, and his end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of the eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Look at verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. Who are my mother and brothers? Jesus asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for your presence here. Father, we announce and we declare this is the dominion of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven has come here. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive the things of God. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. John summed up the whole message of Mark perfectly when he wrote in 1 John 3:8, for this reason the Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's work. The whole Gospel of Mark is about what happens when God's Son contends with God's adversary. We're on a journey of discovery here at Harvest Time, and it's all about Jesus. We started last year in the Gospel of John looking at who is Jesus and witnesses to Jesus. Then we traveled through the Gospel of Matthew looking at the words of Jesus. And now it's on to Mark, and we're talking about the works of Jesus. Mark is remarkable among all the Gospels. It's focused like a laser on the ministry of Jesus. Mark tells us nothing about Jesus' birth or his childhood. Mark shares very little of the content of Jesus' teaching. Instead, Mark shows Jesus doing the gospel. He shows Jesus in action, on the move. In John, we learned about Jesus through his statements of self-disclosure. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the beautiful shepherd. I am the true vine. In Matthew, we learned about Jesus from his teaching. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice shall become like a man whose house is built on the rock. But in Mark, we're learning about Jesus through what he does. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus sets captives free. Jesus transforms life. Mark is the gospel of miracles. The shortest gospel has more miracles than any others. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lepers are made clean, the sick are healed, the dead live again, and those tormented by evil spirits are set free. So I want to take a few minutes this morning, and I want to look with you at who is Jesus in Mark. Who is Jesus in the Gospel of Mark? As I look at these verses in Mark 3, I find three things they reveal about Jesus, and I want to share them quickly with you today. And of course, by quickly, I mean Super Bowl is until next week, so sit back, relax, take it easy. Who is Jesus in the Gospel of Mark? First of all, I find that Jesus is the unique Son of God, attested by the activity of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the unique Son of God, witnessed by the activity of the Holy Spirit. Mark 3, verses 28 and 29 tell us two critical things about Jesus. First of all, they tell us that Jesus and his followers healed people and cast out demons through the power of the Holy Spirit. And second, they tell us that healings and deliverances are the Holy Spirit's witness to Jesus. Do not reject them. Last week, we talked a bit about the so-called unpardonable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to stubbornly refuse the Spirit's witness to Jesus. There are many different ways that the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. One of them is through the Word of God, of which the Holy Spirit is the author, and of which the Holy Spirit gives illumination. The Holy Spirit witnesses to Jesus through the prevenient grace of God, his wooing and his drawing. But specifically here in Mark 3:29, the Holy Spirit witnesses to Jesus through supernatural signs and wonders. Beloved, listen to me. Be very, very careful. Do not ever call the holy things of God demonic. Do not call light darkness. Do not call what is good evil. Do not treat the things of the Spirit lightly or even with the slightest hint of irreverence. To reject the Holy Spirit's witness about Jesus is to reject Jesus himself, and that is a sin that condemns a man or a woman to eternal torment, Jesus says. But the unpardonable sin is only unpardonable as long as someone is committing it. At any moment, someone has a change of heart and they receive the Holy Spirit's witness to Jesus, the grace of God comes rushing in. Mark is supremely important to our understanding of what the gospel is. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word gospel in Greek is euangelion. We get our English word evangelism from euangelion. Euangelion is good news. Specifically, it is good news brought by a messenger that a decisive battle has been won on a faraway field. When Rome was subduing the kingdoms of the world, a messenger would be dispatched from the battlefield to go tell the emperor the good news of victory. Rome has conquered. Another nation has fallen and come under submission of Rome. It was a long way to Rome. There were mountains to cross. There were seas to cross. It was a long journey. But how many of you know, when the emperor was pleased with the good news, he could be very generous. And the word euangelion originally meant the reward money, the purse, the prize that was paid to the messenger for bringing the king good news. I want to tell you something, beloved. Whatever sacrifices you or I may ever make for the sake of announcing the good news of the gospel, the king will generously reward us. Euangelion is what President Obama brought us a few days ago during the State of the Union address when he told us about the raid that SEAL Team 6 made on the Somali pirates and how they rescued hostages from the Somali pirates. One of them was Jessica Buchanan, a graduate of Valley Forge Christian College who belongs to our denomination, the Assemblies of God. That was euangelion. That was good news of a victory that had been won. Now listen to this. This is cool. Everywhere else that the word euangelion appears in ancient literature, it is always, always in the plural form. It is a piece of good news. It is some good news, a bit of good news. But in the New Testament, and only in the New Testament, the euangelion is always singular. So it is the good news. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus isn't just a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus isn't just a good way for me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. The gospel isn't just a good path. The gospel isn't just a good religion. The gospel isn't just a good moral compass. The gospel is the good news. It's the best news ever. So the first thing that we understand about the gospel from Mark is that it is a message about Jesus. It is a proclamation about Jesus. He has come and he has conquered. It's the good news that Jesus has won an epic cosmic battle on a faraway field. Good news, Syracuse. Jesus has prevailed. Jesus has triumphed. Jesus has overcome God's adversary. Jesus has won the victory and brought an end to this war. Oh, come on. This is my fourth time through this. You got to do better than that. But listen, Mark tells us that the gospel is something more than a message. The gospel is the message about Jesus validated by the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is the message about Jesus with signs and wonders following. Go into all the world and announce the good news to all creation, and these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Beloved, listen to me. The gospel is both a message about God and a dynamic encounter with God. Mark is a spirit-filled gospel. John's testimony about Jesus is this: I baptize you with water, but the mighty one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the visible form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. I am pleased with him." In Mark 11, Jesus reveals that that was the moment that he received his authority to heal people and to cast out demons. The Holy Spirit thrusts Jesus into ministry. From the very beginning, Jesus' teaching is always accompanied by signs and wonders performed through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Capernaum, the people are astonished by Jesus. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. Even the evil spirits obey him." And beloved, what the gospel was then, the gospel still is today. It is the good news with authority. It's the proclamation of Jesus Christ accompanied by the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. Who is Jesus? He is the unique Son of God, witnessed, attested by the activity of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, look at me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. That means wherever Jesus is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is still at work, validating the message with healing and deliverance. Who is Jesus in Mark? Second, I find this. Jesus is God's mighty one who invades, binds, and plunders God's adversary. Jesus is God's mighty one who invades, binds, and plunders God's adversary. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. The whole Gospel of Mark is about what happens when God's Son contends with God's adversary. Jesus' ministry begins with a confrontation in the wilderness between Jesus and Satan. It's significant that the first miracle in the Gospel of Mark is the casting out of a demon. And Mark reports more deliverances than any of the other Gospels. That's really funny because Mark is John Mark of the book of Acts, who deserted Paul and Barnabas on the missionary journey. And the reason he deserted them was because he was freaked out over the encounters with demons. Apparently Mark grew up and got over it. It's significant that Jesus' first parable in this gospel is about the defeat of Satan. In Mark 3:22, a delegation arrives from Jerusalem to inspect the ministry of Jesus. How many of you know the religious spirit still hates Jesus? They still hate the activity of God. And they make this accusation against Jesus. They say he is possessed by Beelzebub. He casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus answers them in parables that reveal some important information about God's adversary. What does Jesus reveal here about God's adversary? First of all, Jesus reveals that Satan is the prince of an evil earthly kingdom. Notice he's not a king, he's a prince of an evil earthly kingdom. How can Satan drive out Satan, Jesus says? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The name Satan means adversary. Satan is the arch enemy of God and the people of God. He opposes God. He challenges God. He stands in God's way. He tries to thwart God's plans and purposes. And earth is his home. Lucky us. Earth is his habitation. It is the sphere of his activity and his authority. He has some dominion on earth. He exerts evil influence over the earth's atmosphere. He dominates people and places, and he holds them in his evil grip. Chaos and misery and oppression and injustice and violence and abuse and poverty are the hallmarks of his reign. He's the prince of an evil kingdom, and Jesus reveals that Satan is the leader of ranks of demons. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus identifies Satan as Beelzebub. Beelzebub means the head of the household, specifically the head of the household of demons. Beloved, demons in the Bible are not metaphors. They are not metaphoric language for inner demons. They're not metaphors for inner struggles or conflicts or weaknesses or hang-ups that we have. Demons are actual evil spiritual beings. They are members of Satan's household, and they are his agents. They act, Jesus says, in cooperation with one another under Satan's leadership. The word house implies order, organization, rank. And the function of demons is to make people Satan's prisoners. Demons make people sick. They cause disease and infirmity. They cause problems with the function of organs. They cause diseases in the blood, the skin, the joints, the bones. Demons make people cripple. Demons affect people's eyesight, their hearing, their speech, and demons drive people crazy. Demons torment people. Demons instigate self-destructive behaviors. They incite self-loathing. They inflict depression and anxiety. Demons isolate people from loving and from being loved. Demons cause people to inherit physical sickness and mental and emotional dysfunction from their grandparents, their parents, and their great-grandparents. Generational curses, generational sickness, generational patterns of addiction and abuse. You know, doctors have identified in people's strands of DNA the cancer gene. Can I tell you what they are seeing? Is they are seeing the physical evidence of a spiritual reality. Doctors have identified in people's DNA strands the presence of genes that make people prone to addictive behavior, violent behavior, and unnatural behavior. Can I tell you what they're seeing under their microscope? Is they're seeing the physical evidence of spiritual realities. The sins of the fathers will be visited on their sons to the second and third generation. Your family is one of several open doors to demons. We talk about this in Cleansing Stream. Some others are participation in the occult. Drugs. You want to know what's so bad about pot? I'll tell you what's so bad about pot. When you smoke it, your spirit is open and unprotected to the spirit world, and you will become inhabited and tormented by demons. Boom, there it is. Sexual immorality is another open door for demons. The Bible says that when you have sexual union with someone, you become one flesh. And if they have house guests, then guess what? You're going to pick up some house guests too. Demons inflame and they enrage. They injure people, and if possible, they destroy them. And they do all of this under the direction of Satan. His corrupt character permeates the atmosphere of his entire household, and everyone in his house is like him. What does Jesus reveal about God's adversary? The third thing he reveals here in Mark 3 is that Satan's end has not come yet. His end has not come yet. Jesus says he has a kingdom that's still standing. He has a house that is still standing. How can Satan drive out Satan if he opposes himself? He cannot stand, and his end has come. But Jesus says his work is still going on. Jesus affirmed that Satan is still on mission. He's still at work in the world. He is still up to his dirty tricks. He is still wreaking havoc and destroying lives. In spite of the presence of Jesus, in spite of the presence of the kingdom of heaven, Satan's evil kingdom is still here. And the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the beloved Son, the kingdom of light, clashes violently with the kingdom of darkness. Satan's days are numbered. His defeat is certain. His doom has already been determined by God, but his end has not come yet. And a fourth thing that Jesus reveals about God's adversary, this is the best one. Satan is strong, but he's no match for Jesus. Jesus says, "No one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man, then he can rob his house." What is Jesus saying with these words? He's saying Satan is strong, but he's not strong enough. Satan has a grip on this world, but his grip isn't strong enough. He is powerful, but he's not powerful enough. He has dominion, but his authority is inferior. He is holding men captive, but he is no match for Jesus. Beloved, listen to me. Satan is not the subject of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the mighty one of God, foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Listen to this prophecy in Isaiah 49 about the coming Messiah. You say, can plunder be taken away from warriors or captives rescued from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. Listen, receive the word of the Lord. I will contend with those who contend with you and your children. I will save. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Who is Jesus? He's the Mighty One of God. He was announced by John the Baptist. John says, the Mighty One is coming after me. Who is Jesus? He is the unique Son of God who came down from heaven to contend with God's adversary. Who is Jesus? He is the one who is stronger than the strong man. In Mark 3:21, Jesus' family come to bind him. That's the word that's used there in Greek. They think he is out of his mind and they come to bind him. But Jesus cannot be bound. He is the one who has bound the strong man. Who is Jesus? He's the one who plunders Satan's house and frees those that Satan has possessed. What is this? It is good news with authority. He even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him. Who is Jesus? He's the one who invaded Satan's realm. He's the one who stormed Satan's gates. He's the one who battered down Satan's door. He's the one who has bound Satan's arm. He's the one who has raided Satan's house and has set the captives free. Give him some praise. It's significant that half the Gospel of Mark is about Jesus' passion. Half of this Gospel is devoted to the cross by which Jesus humiliated and utterly defeated God's adversary. Beloved, Mark is the euangelion. Mark is the good news that Jesus has triumphed. The Gospel of Mark is about what happens when God's Son contends with God's adversary. All kinds of exciting things happen in Mark. Demons speak and demons shriek. Demons shake, rattle, and roll, and I have seen them do all of these things. But here's what happens when God's Son contends with God's adversary. Jesus wins every time. Beloved, listen to me. Receive the grace of God. You know what? Listen, even while the word of God is being spoken over you, how many of you know the Spirit of God is at work to set you free, to release you from bondages, to set things that torment your mind free, to send every harassment while the word of God, listen, this atmosphere is pregnant with the presence of God, and he's here to make changes even while the word of life is spoken over you. I believe that there's a living word God has for you. All the things that Jesus said about Satan in Mark 3 are still true. Amen. He is still the prince of an evil kingdom. He is still the leader of ranks of demons. His end has not come yet. He still torments and harasses men and makes them captives. He is still strong. But more importantly than that, everything that Mark 3 says about Jesus is still true too. He is still God's mighty one who invades and binds and plunders God's adversary. And I feel that there is a living word. Maybe the enemy has some area of bondage in your life or some stronghold over your family. Maybe the enemy has made you sick in body. Maybe the enemy is tormenting you with depression or anxiety or self-loathing or with anger. Did you hear about this outbreak in upstate New York among these high school students where these Tourette syndrome-like symptoms have broken out across a high school population. They had on ABC News, they had this little girl who had bruises all over her face because she's having involuntary muscle contractions and she keeps beating herself up in her whole face. And the doctors have no idea. They're calling it a mystery illness. They don't know what causes it. Aaron Brockovich, praise God, has shown up on the scene to figure it out. But I know what it is. And Aaron can't solve it without the help of Jesus. Maybe the enemy's holding you in the grip of addiction. Or maybe he's got a hold on someone you love and he has pushed you to the brink of despair. Receive the word of the Lord this morning. You say, can captives be rescued from warriors? Can plunder be retrieved from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken and plunder retrieved. I will contend with those who contend with you and your children. I will save. Beloved, listen to me. Greater is he who is the Lord in this place than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ, the living presence of Jesus is here right now, and he is mighty to save. Who is Jesus in the Gospel of Mark? He's the unique Son of God witnessed by the Holy Spirit. He's God's mighty one. And finally this, Jesus is the head of God's family, those who do the work of God on earth. He's the head of God's family, those who do the work of God on earth. Immediately preceding the verses that we read in Mark 3, Jesus calls the 12. Mark 3:14 says that he calls them and he appointed them to be with him and to have authority to cast out demons. Jesus called the 12 first to have a relationship with him and secondly to become his partners in the ministry of announcing the good news and casting out demons. Who are disciples? Disciples are intimate friends with Jesus first, and they are partners in ministry with Jesus second. Disciples share the demands and the rigors of ministry. Disciples do the works of Jesus. They heal the sick, and they cast out demons. Beloved, listen to me. There is a hole in our gospel. But it's not in ministries of compassion. The world is not lacking in those, and neither is the church. Go into all the world and announce the good news to all creation, and these signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. They shall build medical clinics. In my name, they shall build schools. In my name, they shall establish feeding programs. In my name, they shall drill wells. In my name, they shall open Christian counseling centers. Beloved, listen to me. All of those things are worthy. We do all of those things, and we should do all of those things, but that's not what the book says. If those things become the main thing, and the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders following becomes secondary, then we've really missed the whole point. Go into all the world and announce the good news to all creation, and these signs shall accompany those who believe. They shall cast out demons and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you want to know what the real hole in our gospel is, it's that there's not enough believers who are partners with Jesus in the ministry of healing and casting out demons. That's good preaching right there. If you're a believer in Jesus, I want you to lift both your hands in the air. Don't only do this if you're a believer. If you're a believer in Jesus, I want you to lift both hands in the air. I deputize you now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be God's agent of healing on the earth. I bestow upon you in the name of Jesus, authority to lay hands on the sick and to heal them. I want you to take your hands and just put them on your mouth, if you will. I deputize you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be God's agent of deliverance on this earth, and I bestow upon you in the name of Jesus heaven's authority to speak to demons and to command them to loose people and to let them go in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a big praise. You are deputized. Immediately following the choosing of the 12, Jesus' birth family comes to bind him because they think he's out of his mind. And then the scribes show up and accuse him of being possessed by Beelzebub. And what Mark is doing by putting these two events together, the choosing of the 12 and then the rejection by Jesus' family and the scribes, what Mark is doing by putting these two events side by side is he's drawing a sharp contrast between those who lay claim to Jesus on the one hand and those upon whom Jesus has made his claim on the other. Mark chapter 3 ends with a vivid picture. Jesus' birth family is shut outside of the house. And Jesus' disciples and his followers are inside the house in fellowship with him. Indeed, Jesus is the head of the house. But it's not the household of demons as the scribes supposed. He is the head of God's household. He is the head of the church, the head of God's family. And listen, he is the leader of all those who have entered into relationship with him and who have become his partners in the ministry of the gospel. Mark 3 is a stunning indictment against those who would lay claim to Jesus, but have ultimately refused his leadership in their lives. Even Satan's house is in order. Even Satan's house is organized. Even Satan's house runs on cooperation. Everyone in Satan's household operates in submission to their evil head. How much more than the family of God? Beloved, do not claim to be Jesus' family if he is not your head. Do not claim to be Jesus' family if he is not your leader. Do not claim to be his family if you are not his partner in the ministry of announcing the good news with signs and wonders following. Satan's family seizes people and makes them sick. But God's family lays hands on people and makes them well. Satan's family torments people, but God's family restores people. Satan's family drives people crazy, but God's family makes people whole. Satan's family isolates, but God's family unites. Satan's family captivates, but God's family liberates. Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. And Jesus looks at his own seated around the table with him. And he says, who are my mother and brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father, that's my family. In Matthew, to do the will of the Father is to receive and obey the words of Jesus. But in Mark, to do the will of the Father is to become a co-laborer with Jesus in the ministry of healing and deliverance. Go into all the world and announce good news to all creation. And these signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's God's mighty one. He's the head of God's family, and he is here right now. Stand together on your feet, and I want you to give the Lord a big praise in this place. Oh, come on. That's a wimpy little praise. Give him a big praise. Come on, give him a big praise. Give him a bigger praise than that. Come on, worship Jesus. Come on, lift up your faces to heaven. Lift up your arms to heaven and just begin to worship Jesus. Just begin to say that name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, demons in hell must fall down on their faces. At the name of Jesus, demons in hell must drop. They must run away. They can't stand that name. They have been defeated. They have been beaten. They have been humiliated by that wonderful name. Come on, say the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, worship him. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we magnify you. Jesus, we exalt you. Jesus, we declare you are Lord. Come on, I want you to make that ancient confession of the church with me. Jesus is Lord. Say it with me if you would. Jesus is Lord. Come on, say it again. Jesus is Lord. Say it again. Jesus is Lord. Give him a praise, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Your name is a strong and mighty tower.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power.
Come on, lift up his name, your name.
Oh, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder. There's nothing has the power to save. But what's your name?
Come on, give him another praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads together with me. We're going to pray in just 1 minute, but before we do, I have to ask this question. I wonder if there's somebody here today and you're not sure whether you're in. You're not sure whether you're in the house or outside of the house. You're not sure whether you're in the circle of Jesus' fellowship or whether you're standing outside in the cold. Have you received the Holy Spirit's witness about Jesus? Have you invited him to be the leader of your life? Is he your head? Have you become his partner in the work of announcing good news with authority? Are you in the house? I wonder if there's someone here today and you're not sure. And today you want to make absolutely certain. You want to know that you know that you know that you're in God's family. That you're in Jesus' circle of fellowship. You want to know that you're in relationship with him. We had people at 5:30 Saturday night. We had people at 10 o'clock. I wonder who wants to join them and take that step. Joining God's family. You're here while heads are bowed. If you're here and you want to make that step today, I want to pray a prayer with you. And I want to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in to become part of his family. If that's you, I want you to lift a hand up high wherever you are. Come on. Oh, yeah, there's people all over the place. Come on. Who else you want to know that you know? Who else you want to know that you know that you're in? Come on. There's lots of hands. Who else? Who else wants to know? You want to know that you know there's somebody else? Who else? You want to know that you know there's someone else there in the very... Who else wants to... You want to know that you know? You want to know that you know that you're in? Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Door's still open. Door's still open. Who wants to come through it? Enter through the narrow gate. Jesus is the narrow gate. He's the narrow door. Who else wants to come in? Come on. Who else? Thank you, Jesus. Let's everybody lift up our hands together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want everyone to follow after me. And we're going to help some people invite Jesus into their heart today. How many of you know the angels are already having a big celebration up in heaven? They're already singing. They're already rejoicing because of what's going to happen. Lift your hands and let's pray. Come on, I'm going to lead you. Repeat after me. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending your only Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived for me. You died on the cross for me. You rose again from the grave. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Come be the leader of my life. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive my sins. Make me new. Set me free. Jesus, I'm coming home in the wonderful name of our Savior. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, O Lord. 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 Come on, sing it again. Your name is a strong and mighty tower.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name, it's a shelter like no other.
I need Pastor Faith. I need Pastor Nick. I need any of our prayer team members that are here. I need you to come very, very quickly and stand in the front. Prayer teams, I don't want you to do any ministry till you get instructions from me, all right? So just hold off. Don't begin praying for people. Anybody on our prayer teams, come quickly, 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 quickly. Now listen, if you're here today and there is some area of your life where the enemy has a stronghold, there's some area of your life where he's just messing things up. Listen, there's no shame. There's no humiliation. It's what he does. And he's very good at his job. But Jesus wins every time. Maybe there's somebody, there's a mess in your household. There's a mess in your family. Maybe he's got a hold on your children or your grandchildren. Listen, this is what the Lord says. I will contend with those who contend with you. And your children I will save. And if you need a breakthrough, I don't want you to start praying till I tell your prayer teams, but if you need a breakthrough, I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to come down here to this altar right away. If you need it, if he's got a stronghold in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, whatever area of your life, if he's got a hold on one of your kids, your grandkids, I want you to come right down this aisle and we're going to pray. Come on, sing it again. Your name, Jesus.
Your name.
Come all the way down to the front. Fill right in. Come all the way down.
Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to
come on, your name, Lord.
Oh, your name.
Is a strong and mighty tower.
Your name
is a shelter like no other.
Your name,
let the nations sing louder. 'Cause nothing has the power to save but your name. All right, listen, prayer teams. I'm gonna lead everybody in some prayer, and then when it's time, you're not gonna interview people or talk to them. You're gonna lay your hands on them. You're gonna release the kingdom of God on them. All right, no talking, just touch and just release. Go with the one word the Holy Spirit gives you. All right, everyone, lift up your hands in the air, and I want you to just begin to say the name of Jesus. Come on, just begin to confess the name of Jesus. Come on, just begin to say the name of Jesus. Listen, if God has given you a heavenly tongue for worship and prayer, I want you to just minister right now in the Holy Spirit. Just minister to the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Shekiyara la 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 la